Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack and Jill here.
Hi there.
Welcome to the show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about buy and lease disasters.
Huh?
Why would you put the word disaster in a title, Jack? Let's find out.
Yeah.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Brian E. asks, I have a great parcel in with two very anxious buyers ready to snatch it up.
I like where this is going.
Yeah. The obstacle is that it's not clear as to where the access easement is to the property. I've done my homework, and it turns out that in this particular section, all the roads that exist are private, and furthermore, about one-third of the owners have to overtly, not just peripherally, traverse a neighbor's property to get to theirs. So everyone must traverse some form of private property, either private road, owned by an adjacent property owner, or an actual usable section of a lot to get to theirs. So here's the kicker. I pulled deeds on most of the properties, and none except one mentioned these easements, even when someone is clearly traversing someone else's lot, which, by the way, we can all see from Google Maps often. I feel like my options are either
I have to interrupt here for a second.
Why?
I say it a million times. I'm going to say it again. I cannot believe the level of intelligence of our members.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I mean, thank you, Brian. Thank you for showing up and taking this seriously. I mean it. Yep. This is a fantastic question, and I can tell by the way you're writing it out, you're going to do well.
Thank you. Can I go now?
Yeah. You mean like leave the show?
Yeah, I know. Can I finish?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So here's Brian's options, he thinks. There's three. So A, pay $400 to find a good title company to find a title that mentions easements, but I doubt that they will find anything. B, the owner can record a deed with the access road with the neighbor, but they'll have to pay more for someone to access the owner. Okay. Or C, tell the owner that they can do whatever everyone else is doing, okay, as his new buyer, and arrange with a handshake an access road with the neighbor, as I understand that after 5 years without an objection, it isn't an easement in this area. What are your thoughts?
Okay.
Well, I know what mine is.
We have the same thought. Go ahead, Joe.
C.
D. I'm going to give you a D option.
Oh, I'm with C. Oh,
this is
D.
What Jill and I do.
Keep your head down. Don't talk to anyone and just do it. That's my usual answer.
That's good advice for anybody.
Yeah.
Just take the pain.
just don't draw any attention to it. You'll probably
in with the crowd,
slide
out with the crowd.
Right by. Yes. Don't ask for permission. It's all good. I know when my parents were like, Jill, really? What? Go ahead.
By the way, Jill, all traffic laws do not apply to Jill.
Oh, no, I'm exempt. My dad told me that one.
Here's option D. You're spending way too much time on this one little piece of property. What we say is, we bought this property for way, way less than it's worth. And we're going to sell it to you for even less than it's worth retail. So we didn't check into it. I'm not sure. But you, the end user, and the person that Brian's selling it to, if you're the end user and this is a concern for you, then I really encourage you to check it out, because I don't know the answer. And I'm not your parents. I'm not going to cut your food up. Mm-hmm. You're old enough to check out the easements yourself and check it all out. And I have it priced that way, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm going to price it retail and give you no information, but I'm going to price it way below wholesale. But in exchange for that, I really need you to go find out whatever it is that you're concerned about. Might be a well, might be water, might be utilities, might be easements in this case. What
you're, right.
what you're doing here, Brian, respectfully, is wasting wasting time. What you should be doing is looking for the next deal. Mm-hmm. Because if it's priced right, and it looks like it is because you've got two anxious buyers,
they'll figure it out.
I would sell it for less money to the person who's more silent.
Right. Well, you know what? When we have had that conversation, you're right. That is the best answer. Because I have said, well, if you really want for the right price, I'll go out and pave it for you. You know, seriously.
Pave it in gold.
Sure.
I'm happy to pave it in gold for X.
If you're willing to pay for that, and I have had that. Like, I one time met a guy that wanted it staked. I said, well, here's the deal. You can go out and find someone, and they could walk the property and stake it and all that good stuff for you. Or I can do it too, but I can guarantee it the way it's priced now, it's better off if you do it. And they go, oh, yeah, got it. Thank you. And they look it up and they know it's true. I'm not just saying that. That's part of why it's priced this way. Like you just said, Jack, that's it. I'm not doing all that.
You could go in the woods
and you win.
And grab four pieces of wood and tie them with little cute ribbons. And get a GPS unit and go out and stake the property and drive them in, and then you're staked too, and you saved yourself $2,000.
Yeah,
because that's all that person's going to.
We didn't even have that.
The surveyor's going to do right
too. I mean, they really hired someone,
right,
you know, from the county to go out and do it. I'm like, that's great. I said, I promise, it's cheaper if you do it. And they go, okay, got it.
All kidding aside, this business model works great when you don't get into the details, and I can't, you know, not the details of sales. You need to get into the details of data and pricing property. Like times 80. But when it comes to, hey, you know, help, take my hand and hold my hand and let's find out it. Forget about all
Can
that.
I park in? I know it says 6 months, but I want to be there for 6 months and a week with my RV. Is the county going to come find me for that extra 7 days?
Yeah.
That is not the conversation you ever should be having with your buyer.
Just move to the next deal.
Yep.
And move to the next buyer.
Yep.
Because that's the beauty. All kidding aside, of buying property for half of what it's worth.
Well, and I hate to say it, but this is our business. We're wholesalers. We're not here selling to the end user. I'm not going to spend that much time. I want to move the deals and move on, and that, you know, and that's it. We're here for quantity.
So think of two 65 Mustangs, two classic cars, right? And they're sitting right next to each other, and one of them's completely done, and the owner's going to throw you the keys, but he wants $30,000. And you're gonna put the top down, turn the key, the engine's gonna go, and you're gonna be the envy of all your friends, and people are gonna chase you down the street. The car is so beautiful. Old bald men, by the way.
Yeah.
Because those are the people that are interested in that car, not young pretty girls. And the second car, the thing's falling apart, and he's throwing you the keys, and it only costs $5,000, but there's a ton of stuff to do it, and you're probably a good six to eight months away. From having that, what I just described a couple seconds ago, driving down the street and being the envy of everybody. Are you going to spend 30? What's your personality type? Do you want to spend $30,000 or $5,000? I'm a $30,000 person when it comes to this. Mm-hmm. But in my business, I'm a $5,000 person, and I don't expect, if I go to the $5,000 car owner and say, well, the brakes don't even work on this car.
Yeah.
That's why it's $5,000.
Exactly. Hello.
That's what's going on here, Brian.
The top's broken. No kidding.
You can't
kidding.
Have it all.
Yeah.
You cannot have it all at the same time. You just can't.
Exactly.
So if you want a half-price property, there may or may not be stuff that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. If you
and it's not your job. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. No.
I wasn't quite done with my rant.
I'm sorry. Keep going.
Go ahead, Jack.
This is Jack. This is Jack on DayQuil.
I know.
Day two, Jack on DayQuil, and it's getting funnier.
I have not had
a cold. I can't wait to see how day three is like. He's going to be like, ah, oh, sure, God. Take it. I don't care. What company?
That's why these shows are like an hour and a half instead of 20 minutes.
What the heck? This is
what
hilarious.
Company? What company?
I don't know.
What's your name?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
sure,
Jill?
You can have it. I don't know.
Why are you in my house?
Exactly.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, buy and lease disasters. This is the meat of the show. Recently, I was reading, I think it was on Bigger Pockets or somewhere, where a young investor, real estate investor, was just pulling their hair out saying, everything that happened, they bought a house, and it's through probably no fault of their own. Well, they have to take responsibility for it, I guess, but bought a property with financing, got a tenant in there, and the tenant stopped paying. This is a buy and lease disaster. When you buy a property, especially with financing a house, and you rent it out to somebody, oh, there's about 4,200 things that can go wrong. As a real estate investor, what was yesterday's show about? Look inside the mirror and be honest with yourself.
Identify where you need help up front.
When you buy and resell a piece of land, there's about three things that can go wrong. I would argue there's actually nothing that can go wrong if you do all your homework.
I agree.
So why
pay cash.
Why do this to yourself?
Exactly.
Why buy a house with financing,
so
especially?
Things.
I mean, there are literally infinite number of things that can go wrong, literally.
Oh, my gosh.
From paper, wallpaper falling down, to getting the right tenant, to, you know, overpaying, and the foundations. I mean, there's a million things, a ton of stuff that can go wrong. So, you know, I don't need you don't to waste your time, listener, and just describe the stuff. Just go on Bigger Pockets or on Land Investors and ask anybody if this is a good idea. In fact, you know what? Do that. If you're thinking about buying a house and renting it, and you think that you're going to get a Ferrari a couple months later, that's just not how it works. The numbers don't pencil. If you think that you're going to buy a 500-unit apartment building and get a Ferrari 6 months later, that's just not how it's going to go.
Yeah.
That's 500 more problems that you're going to have,
exactly,
in my opinion, instead of just one.
You're right.
So I would really consider, even if you do this successfully, you know, expand your real estate horizons, you know, to purchasing and wholesaling out property of all kinds. We have a very successful member who buys and sells, using our methodology here, apartment buildings.
Right.
And they're killing it.
Yeah, so buying these assets is not the crazy part, but it's hanging on to them to lease them out and try to get rich that way is a long, long, long process. Versus buy a bunch of them, flip them, and move on.
Yeah.
You know, take cash for them. You know, that's the first thing, too. So, or have your buyer. The best thing is, have your buyer lined up. I mean, that's the easiest thing out there. It's not hard to find everybody who was looking for a certain asset. They're there. If you just start looking, you'll find them. It's all over the internet, and check driving around, you see things. So find out what they want. Go get them the asset. Mark it up. You are out no money, and you are on your way.
If you're a manufacturer and you need a part, like a component to whatever you're selling, and you just don't want to make the part, it's too complicated, but you sell a little piece of machinery or something, what do? You go out and you say, you know, you submit an RFP or a request for a proposal, and you look at all the people that manufacture these types of parts, and you pick the one that's the best fit. So you're requesting, the real estate should be, I don't know why it's the other way around, but it should be no different. If you're a flipper, a house flipper, not us, we're wholesalers. You should be able to say, you know what? I need a part. I need a house to flip, and I don't want to pay a lot, and I want the best situation. So you're just filling an order.
Yeah.
It's really, really simple.
Yeah, especially I'm thinking back to your buy and lease disasters and how most people do it. Like, when you really think about it, because I remember this is the numbers that my dad was doing. He was doing testing this once in Texas. He was buying in the Dallas area homes in the outskirts, $80,000-$100,000 homes, right? Leasing them up, and you know, he had like 10 of them. Well, he's making at the end of the day, because he was not buying, paying cash for them, they were mortgaged. So it was like his profit was like, $100 or $200 a house.
Per month.
And by the way, he was the maintenance guy.
Yeah.
It was just like, man, I mean, no one ever saw Dad. He's always
that's a buy and lease
fishing
disaster.
A dryer, and he's doing this. Oh, and then my mom will talk about this lovingly, because and I'm being sarcastic here, because this was Dad's crazy idea. So, and this is what everybody's doing because they think it's a good idea. So Dad would say, oh, don't worry about that. You know, like he'd buy the house. And he's showing it to somebody. Don't worry about that. I'll get my cleaning crew to take care of that. I'll get my cleaning crew to take care of that. Well, back then, the cleaning crew was my mom.
Oh, that's awful.
I know. And so she's like, oh, no, don't do that to me. So anyway, it all worked out well in the end. But he ended up, when he was done, he sold them all, and it worked out just fine. But
yeah, but that's where he made his money.
That's where he made his money when
he
sold them.
If you talk to any successful buy and lease person.
Time.
you don't really make money unless you have no leverage at all. And then you have to really ask yourself some questions.
Right.
Do you make the money? Talk to any commercial real estate investor who's successful. You make the money when you buy it and sell it.
Yep.
Here's the commercial real estate game really quickly. You buy an apartment building, 100-unit apartment building, and everybody's paying $1,000 a month, right? So that's $100,000 a month in revenue. You raise their rent immediately. You raise their rent 5 to 10 or 20%. So everybody's paying $1,100 or $1,200 instead of $1,000. And you lose some, right? Some people just say, you know what? I'm not paying. And they move out. Very few, by the way. And everybody argues about it, and they forget about it 2 weeks later. Now the property, on a capitalization rate, is worth a lot more. Mm-hmm. And you sell it. That is how you make a tremendous amount of money in commercial real estate. You don't buy it and hold it forever.
No.
It's called a balance sheet acquisition.
It's brilliant.
And they're my favorite kind.
I love it.
Or sometimes if you've got ironclad leases with commercial tenants, it goes up with the CPI, consumer price index, or with inflation. So 3 to 5%. So you just hold it. You know what your exit is when you buy it. And you got class A tenants like Starbucks and stuff paying, and it goes up 3 to 5% a year. In 5 years, that asset's worth a lot more, and you sell it.
Right.
That's where the dough is. It's not, you just hope that it covers the rent covers. So this is, I wish I could scream this to the world.
I know.
Because Jill and I shake our heads weekly when we watch hear these buy and lease disasters. I don't know who is saying to people
this is a good idea.
That it's good to go buy a house and get a mortgage and rent it.
I was thinking the same thing. It's like every couple I've ever met, the beginning of it, they're all excited. Oh, you know, like we've had friends that we've followed through this whole process and it's comical. So like, oh, okay, well, so-and-so got laid off. So we decided we're going to do this and we're going to buy this house. And he knows how to do tile and we're doing this and we're doing that. So now I don't know if you remember this couple that I'm referring to, because we knew them, we were watching them through this whole process. It was like a year process. So they're all excited. They had a little bit of money, so they threw it into this
Arizona
house,
or California?
Arizona. And they were friends of friends. We met at a party, and I remember
Oh my gosh, I do remember this.
And it was so funny because one of them was laid off, and so she was still paying the bills with her day job, right?
This, yeah.
So he was going in doing all the renovating. They're thinking this is a good idea. They have all this enthusiasm, right? Well, then a couple months go by, and we see him at this party again.
I remember this. We should call him and have him on the show.
It's the funniest thing. The level of enthusiasm that kept going. Well, this went wrong. That went wrong. This took 6 weeks longer than we thought. We're now out of money. We called our parents. And then all the way through, and then at the end, you know, when they're like, I think either they moved in. I don't know if they leased it out. They might have had to move in it because that was the only option.
Fiery ball of tragedy.
But it was like, hey, how's that thing going? How's your renovation, your flip going? They're like, oh, God. And it was like, you just asked about someone who just passed on. Was their reaction. And I'm like, but you're right, Jack. Going into it, I don't know who's telling everyone that this is a really good idea. Because it's not. And you talk to people that do it. And man, I mean, kudos for anybody who's made money doing it. But
you can make money.
You can.
We have another friend. His name's Dennis. We sell a lot of houses to him. And I asked him why.
There's a few. How,
what's the difference between you and everybody else? And you know what he says?
What?
Well, I buy the houses so cheap.
Yeah.
You know, and I do as little as possible.
Wrong. That's true. Yeah, you're right.
I don't get all wrapped up in, you know, new
making
appliances.
It beautiful.
Yeah. I do as little as possible.
Right.
And then I sell it for a rational amount of money and just keep doing it over and over again.
Yeah, Dennis doesn't lease them out. He sells them.
Right.
So that's a difference too.
And he's a real estate agent. So he really looks at the numbers.
He does. He's a numbers guy.
He cuts out as much as he can. He pays cash for everything.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? Maybe that's the difference, because these couples go into it like it's a project that's going to bring our marriage closer together.
No. Oh, let's have a baby.
Yeah. Or let's renovate a house together.
Let's have a baby. Get closer.
That kind of a thing. We're going to do this because we're going to do it together. We get to spend some quality time together in Lowe's.
Or babies are us.
There we go. Or both. Hey, then I got pregnant during it. Isn't this great? Could you imagine? That's a show I want to watch. How come nobody does that kind of a show?
Yeah.
We should do that.
They should
have a show showing they're all excited and then showing, then somebody gets pregnant and then they get kicked.
Here's the name of the show.
Then they can't pay their own mortgage.
Here's the name of the show. Barefoot and Pregnant Renovators.
Yes. That's it. That I will watch. That's the one I want to see.
Oh my gosh, we just lost half of the six people that listen to the show.
I hope we just successfully dispelled some of the wonderful whatever, so you know that there's a lot of things that can go wrong.
Do yourself a favor and please consider buying a piece of property for half of what it's worth and selling it for just a little bit more over and over and over again. Join us in the next episode, where we discuss putting yourself in charge.
And we answer Avery's question about using social media to sell property.
You are not alone in your social media marketing ambition.
All right, Jacked Up Jack is awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm all hopped up on cold medicine. I just don't have a care in the world.
No, you really don't. It's kind of nice. I can't wait till after 5 o'clock. We're going to hand a drink to you and see how that goes.
Well, I'm just going to go straight to bed.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's what will happen.
Dad, you're no fun anymore.
Yeah.
Come on, Dad.
It's funny. This
used
is funny
to be fun.
I
What's
love
wrong
it.
With you, Dad?
Hey, love Jack. Like our show. Love Jacked Up Jack and love our show. Well, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you are listening.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.